out of the 12 steps since August 3rd, 1989. And I say that never to impress anyone, but just to impress upon us, including myself and the program works. If you had told me on August 3rd, 1989, that I wasn't just doing it one day at a time, or that I was doing it one day at a time, but it would add up to 30 years of change, I would have gone straight to Safeway, gotten as much food as I possibly could, and eaten in the car on the way home because I couldn't wait till I got home. I had silverware in my car before I came into Overeaters Anonymous. Not all utensils, there's only one that's particularly important to me, that would be the spoon, but I had a spoon in the console of my car because I couldn't wait to get home to eat my food. So I'm grateful for Overeaters Anonymous because before OA, I was atheist, very anti-religious, didn't understand there was such a thing as spirituality because that's how I was raised. And I'm an isolator, and I'm sure as hell don't have food binge buddies. I mean, maybe a little bit, but not much. And that was just like the mini binge before the next binge, right, when I got home. I'm a, like I talked about in the OA 12 and 12 in the old days, we unplug the phone, back when we used to do that, and close the drapes. I'm an eat-at-home kind of person. And so what that meant was, or in the car, one of my favorite places, what that meant was that I was alone inside my head, figuring out how I was going to do Thanksgiving or figuring out how I was going to do some other event. And when Wendy H. is in her own head trying to figure something out, it's like a very bad neighborhood. You should never go in there alone. I weighed 194 pounds. Today I stepped on the scale, I weigh 125 pounds. That is God's grace. I have probably been abstinent at a normal weight longer now than I was unabstinent and abnormal weight, which is just bizarre to me. So I'm so, so grateful to everyone who's here today and doing service. I never walked into an OA meeting before I got hot coffee, so I thank everybody for the coffee and the water. I was like, whoo, okay. I'm going to read the Voices of Recovery. This is one of my favorite OA books from yesterday, because it was really about today. The quote is from For Today on page 151. It says, "The celebrations of this day will be over at midnight, and tomorrow I'll wake up glad to be alive and absent." I don't know for sure that I'll be absent, but I have a lot of faith that I will be. And I'm blessed because I've been absent one other Thanksgiving, after another one after other Thanksgiving, and so I know it's possible. But before I came in here, because I got absent on August 3rd, I saw other people who've been absent on Thanksgiving, and that gave me hope that I could be absent on Thanksgiving. So the idea that this is just today, tomorrow I can eat whatever I want, you know, it's like an AA, which I'm not a member of, saying it's free beer tomorrow, right? Well, tomorrow I can eat whatever pie or gunk or whatever it is that I want to eat today. It'll still be there. No food has become extinct since I came into Overeaters Anonymous. No. So if I want to overeat tomorrow, I can do that. I used to think just the opposite. Oh, my God, if I don't eat this right now, it's going to evaporate. I must have it now. No. Still there. So I love that I can wake up alive and absent tomorrow. A holiday, a birthday, a wedding. These events roll around and allow me to reach for the tools of the program, which is lovingly handed me. I start my day asking God, that I don't understand, but I start my day asking God of my understanding for help. I've learned to pick up the phone, and kind words receive me at the other end. They gently remind me of the pain I thought would grip me forever, and of the most important thing I do today, keep my absence. Gratefulness envelops me. I say a quiet thank you, and I go through my day. When I lay down my head, gratitude lulls me to sleep. I just want everyone to know today, if you don't hear anything else from me, that you're not alone. You don't have to do this alone. There's a higher power out there, a goddess, a big mystery, the great spirit, big love, God, whatever you want to call it. I also want to suggest, I appreciate everybody going around the room and introducing themselves earlier. I want to pass around a sign-in sheet, and it's got my phone number on it. Anybody who's willing to put their phone number down for a text or phone call later today, you can just put a check. And anybody who would like a call or a text later today, you can just put a check. I just want people to know that when you leave here at noon, even though the thank-a-thon's over, you don't have to do between now and the time your head hits the pillow alone. So, for me, I thought I should talk a little bit about, particularly if anybody's in their first Thanksgiving absent. I didn't even start it, Mary, so it's a good thing you're doing it. that was helpful. That's why I take the village, and I need a lot of support. So I thought I would just jot down this morning some of the things that helped me. For me, my abstinence is 3 meals a day, nothing in between, 1 day at a time. And the 1 day at a time, as I mentioned earlier, is really important to me. And when I came in, we have food planets as a tool from Ashton. So sometimes I still call it Ashton. That might blur it for some people, but call it my food plot if you want. I eat three times a day, nothing in between, one day at a time. For me, just for me, no matter what. I don't do snacks. I don't, when I'm traveling in a different time zone or if I'm working late, I don't split a meal. I wouldn't know what that looked like. That would be a fourth meal for me. And I don't know what a snack is. It would be a fourth meal for me. If it works for other people, that's great. For me, not so much. So I stick with that. And I, you know, sometimes if it's Thanksgiving, I try to influence when the whatever that meal is that they have at 2 or 3 in the afternoon that makes no sense to me at all. If I can, I try to influence the timing of that. I've also come to learn that it's never at the time they say. If I'm at somebody else's house, it seems to be an hour later. So I need, what I do is I think through when I'm going to eat breakfast. Probably everybody's eating by now, but I think through when I'm going to eat breakfast, and maybe somebody else wouldn't do this because it's important that I'm eating exactly the same time every day. I'll shift my meal times so that my breakfast is later, because I'll be getting to 2 o'clock to be my last meal for the day. I mean, I still like food. So I eat my dinner a little bit later, maybe, or whatever, because I eat this meal. I also only eat the same amount of food I would eat before. I often take my own food, or even if it's, you know, grabbing a salad, a whole food or something when we're traveling with family, which is what I did last year and the year before. Some foods I make at their house, but others I'll just, you know, buy at a healthy place. And do I feel a little uncomfortable with that? Sure. I'm an adult child, a dysfunctional, compulsive overeating parents, and I want to fit in. So I don't want to be different than anybody else. But my absence has to be the most important thing in my life. So like last year when we were in Michigan for 4 days with my brother and his family, he's my big brother. I still want him to think I'm cool. I mean, he's still my authority figure. You know, my brother thinks I'm weird about my food. So I don't drink, and I don't eat meat other than fish, which is, I don't even eat turkey. That's just a choice. It's not an absence thing. And, you know, I survived. And he's probably not still thinking about it 5 seconds later what I do and don't eat. And if he is, that's about him. It's not about me. So I need to do what I need to do to stay absent, regardless of what other people may or may not think of me. What some of the other tools that I have used, not just on holidays but other times, is sometimes I will bookend my meals with God through prayer, and but also I'll bookend my meals with another person, which means sometimes I will call and text somebody and say, especially if it's like family that's weird and there's some food I don't want to eat. There's nothing wrong for me. In fact, it's great for me to text someone and say, I'm not going to eat sweet potatoes, which I love because there's a bunch of sugar in them, and so I'll text them before I'm going to have dinner or lunch or whatever we call it. I'm not going to eat sweet potatoes today. And at the end of the meal, I'll text and say, my meal is over. Very important words for me. My meal is over. And I didn't eat any of the whatever it is. That's very humbling. But it works. I have never once texted somebody that my meal is over and then eat more food. Never once. Because I think there's some kind of God commitment there. And then I can't, you know, not do it anymore. I also think it's really important when I'm in a social situation, particularly or I'm uncomfortable, to know what my last bite is going to be before I take my first bite. Because if I just go to somebody's buffet or some function and I don't know when I'm going to stop, then it's pretty much a question of, well, there's no sugar and there's no flour and this looks like it came from the co-op or, you know, whatever, right? Because I have a volume issue. I'm a real compulsive overeater. Not eating sugar, not eating flour, one day at a time, pretty clean. Is that 10? But volume, I can't not know when I'm going to finish my meal before I start it, when I'm not at home with a certain amount of food that I normally eat. I have my chip in my hand. I love my chip. I have my chip in my hand any time I testify at a city council meeting, any time I'm at a meeting, any time I have a tough conversation with my husband, the day I got married. In fact, the day I got married, I had the chip in my hand. God for me, and it's great for Thanksgiving. Take God with you. And I was walking down McKinley Rose, or the Rose Garden, McKinley Park, and I realized, oh shoot, I got to give him this ring and stuff. So I just dropped the chip down my wedding dress, and thank goodness I was wearing something underneath it. Caught it. So my chip was right here when I got married. Because this is God for me. This is really God for me. And it doesn't have to be a chip. It could be something else. So. And sometimes this will really freak some people out, but I don't go to functions this year for Thanksgiving.